We are diving into the offseason numbers. Regular season's over for the Bengals, so all eyes are on free agency, the NFL draft, and everybody knows a guy named Joe Burrow. I had to bring in the experts, PFF's Cam Meller and Austin Gale. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to start with Joe Burrow because you know what? There is this fan base out there. They're on social media. They're tweeting me. They're saying, but what if we know that the Bengals have the number one draft pick? They can choose whoever they want. It looks like they're going to move on from Andy Dalton. It's all but official. I say Joe Burrow, but what do you say to the crowd who's saying, trade that number one draft pick for picks?
I don't think it's something you can immediately say is a bad idea. Joe Burrow is the number one overall player in this class. He's the top quarterback. We're talking about him as potentially the best quarterback we've seen in a draft class since we started grading college football in 2014. However, if Tua Tagovailoa declares, I know that's looking unlikely. If he does, that number two quarterback in the class is also very good. All of a sudden, Tua Tagovailoa is an option. So if you start to think about the Miami Dolphins, who have two first-round picks in this class, they have an opportunity to trade up to that number one overall. And if you are in love, if Cincinnati Bengals coaching staff is in love with Tua Tagovailoa, you could scoop him up at number five in addition to the bevy of picks Dolphins send you. However, if Tua Tagovailoa stays at Bama, Burrow's the number one QB and the next guy on the list is not even close to his level, so I stay at one.
Cam, what do you say to the people? Because I know you've been a Burrow since day one. What do you say to the people who say he just had one good season?
It doesn't matter. This one good season that you have is by far and away the best season we've ever seen from a college quarterback. I'm on record as saying this is likely the most decorated season from a college quarterback we've ever seen. And that also looks likely to just get over to the NFL level as well. You're talking the amount of accurate passes he has, 10 or more yards down the field. The next closest quarterback, he's upwards of 76%. The next closest is down in the 50s. So the amount of balls that he's placing only where he can and his receivers can catch the ball is unlike anything we've ever seen, and that is highly translatable to the NFL.
You guys can't see this, who's listening right now, but these guys, they just shoot all the stats out. I mean, all in their head. I know they've been feeling Joe Burrow since day one, and all the Bengals fans are wanting him to come to Cincinnati. That's all but official. But when you look at the offensive line, I actually want to go to the second half of the Bengals season because it actually started to look a little better. A little better, Austin.
Would
Joe Burrow be
better.
Okay?
A little better I'll get with. I'd say it got better. However, there's still significant issues along this offensive line. I think they were smart to extend Trey Hopkins. He was easily, hands down, the best offensive lineman along that front five. However, outside of that, you have older pieces that are playing out of place. Michael Jordan and Billy Price far below lived up to expectations. It was bad seasons for both of those guys. Billy Price right now is the lowest graded player that has been drafted in 2018. That's how bad he's been since he's been coming to the Cincinnati Bengals. I know they're going to get Jonah Williams back, but I think you can further add to that offensive line. This is a deep offensive line class. There's a ton of guys in this class. Mekhi Becton of Louisville. You have Lucas Niang of TCU that could slip into the second round where you're starting to think about adding to that offensive line. However, don't deviate from Burrow at one for an offensive lineman. Free agency two is such a good opportunity to add to the offensive line. We see time and time again, fans think that you draft an offensive lineman early in the draft, he's an answer, he's a solution immediately. That's not the case. The highest graded rookie offensive lineman this year was Juwan Taylor at a 69.0. That's good, but you're not going to get an answer at that position until a couple years into his career. You look at free agency, Anthony Costanzo is an option. There's other veteran talent in free agency where the Bengals could really upgrade if they can open up some cap space.
Besides Anthony, did you see any other big names they could add on the right side on the line?
Yeah, I think looking at the class, I think there are some options there. It'd have to also cut candidates come into play there if you want to move. And Andrew Whitworth is an option. I know he's a little bit long in the tooth there, but if he wanted to finish his career in Cincinnati, I'd welcome it. He didn't play super well this year, but his level of play was way better than what we've seen in Cincinnati. Bobby Hart, not the answer there. Maybe a kick in the right tackle for Whitworth would make sense. He played guard early in his career. If Whitworth wants to come to Cincinnati, Bengals should welcome it.
I know, and a lot of people are saying that. What do you think about Andrew Whitworth coming back? And I'm here to tell you, he's not going to come back and play left tackle. You got to put Jonah Williams back out there for the first time, actually, in regular season. If he does come, as you mentioned, move him over to the right side. Cam, defense right now. Jermaine Pratt, their rookie right now that they had out there for the Bengals, started to get more reps after they cut Preston Brown. When you look at the college linebackers, who could they probably get maybe the late in the third or fourth round?
Oh, there are some sneaky good prospects. I think there are guys that do it all. Not one really truly comes to mind for what the Bengals do because it's a matter of what we see going down the road. I think I'll defer to Austin in terms of what prospects actually fit in the Bengals line, but this is not necessarily a top-loaded class at linebacker. Mm-hmm. This is more linebackers that you find day three even, maybe tail end of day two if you want to reach that high, but I don't think that this linebacker class is one that does fill your need right away unless Austin can prove me wrong here.
Isaiah Simmons, the Clemson off-ball linebacker who plays pretty much every position on the football field, is like perfect for the modern-day linebacker, but you're not going to to get him unless you draft the number one overall in the Cincinnati Bengals spot. He's not falling to day two, not day three. However, there are guys like Troy Dye of Oregon, who I think is a very athletic, long linebacker, similar to Jermaine Pratt, but a lot more athletic, a lot more capable in coverage. I think him out of Oregon makes sense. I think you have Francis Bernard of Utah, another coverage linebacker that plays very well. He's been mocked in the second round, even the third round. Those are guys that, here's the thing with linebacker, draft an athlete. Right now in today's NFL, every NFL team's just trying to put more athletes on the football field. You look at the Baltimore Ravens, one of the better defenses in the NFL right now. They strip away these linebackers that are over 250 pounds. They find guys that can actually show up at under 240 even and be athletes. San Francisco, you know, Dre Greenlaw, the rookie there, he's 237 pounds. That's unheard of for off-ball linebacker. Fred Warner, 242. Those are the types you're looking for, and those guys more than available at, you know, on day two, on day three, because they don't normally have this college production, this tackle numbers that usually get these guys drafted high. I think those, you start to think about a Bernard or a Troy Dye, I think that would make sense for Cincinnati.
You talk Troy Dye, though, and one thing that's unquantifiable, this guy in Oregon's hardest fought win of the year against Washington, broke his hand on the first series, had it casted up, broke the cast, broke his hand again, kept playing, had it recasted, and finished the game as their most valuable player in that game against Washington. So that is unquantifiable and something you need to have as a linebacker.
So if you guys were to rank positions right now, of course you go quarterback with the first pick, and then you move on O-line, and then you're going linebacker, or is wide receiver kind of sneaking in right now? Because this team hasn't decided what they're going to do with A.J. Green right now. You have John Ross. We know what he does. He's kind of inconsistent. He drops balls. He catches touchdown passes. He gets injured. Auden Tate was injured this year. He did, you know, show some signs of what he can bring on the offensive side when it comes to weapons. They could be looking for a wide receiver, too, on day two.
Yeah, I look for wide receiver day two because you have to be able to pass, and you have to be able to cover the pass, but you also have to, another integral part of passing the ball is being able to catch the ball and having a guy who can do multiple things, sort of on a route tree, but with safe hands, different distances and depths of the field as well. This is the most loaded talent class that we've seen at wide receiver probably ever, definitely in the PFF ranks in terms of how long we've been grading college tape, but this is the most deep class at wide receiver. So you have plenty of options across the board at day two, even day three early, that guys that usually might have fallen into day two, but are going to be stretched out to day three because of just that's how deep it is.
If you don't draft a wide receiver in this class, you are making a mistake, because it is one of the, it's top heavy. CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, those guys are two number ones. After that, it's also very deep. There is a ton of talent on day two that's going to slip. On day three, even, very capable guys. And here's the thing with a linebacker versus wide receiver. First and foremost, PFF says this all the time, draft players, not positions. Do not fill need in the draft. It does not make sense. And another thing there too is positional value is so important. Wide receiver is so much more valuable than off-ball linebacker, even if it is a weakness for your team. And then going back to this wide receiver class, Tyler Johnson of Minnesota, a sure-handed guy who's graded very well in back-to-back seasons, great production. You think about him, KJ Hamler, a slot opportunity, a guy who plays for Penn State, Justin Jefferson of LSU, who's been playing with Burrow for quite some time now. That's an option too. There's just so much talent at receiver. Day two, the Bengals should jump at the opportunity to grab one of these guys.
I see Jefferson and Burrow out there and that connection chemistry they have. What are the chances Jefferson's going to be there in the second round if they don't go O-line and they go receiver?
I think he should be there on day two. I know Todd McShay of ESPN has mocked Justin Jefferson, has him in the first round. I think he ultimately falls to day two. He's not an elite separator, which sounds like a big knock, especially because separation is king in the NFL. But he has great ball skills, sure-handed receiver, and he's a crafty route runner. He creates separation with his craftiness, not necessarily his athleticism. I think you put him in a position like the slot where he's transitioned this year, he can have success. And you have that chemistry with Joe Burrow, too. I think that makes even more sense on day two.
They definitely had a bizarre season when it comes to tight end because Tyler Eifert played his first full season in NFL history healthy, but he had minimal reps, and they'll more than likely move on from him. Do you think a tight end could be late rounds too?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, I will say this is a bad tight end class. There is not a ton of good tight ends in this class. They do have a Notre Dame product, Cole Kmet, who just re-entered the class. I think he said he was going back to Notre Dame. Now he's going to enter the 2020 draft. He would be tight end one in PFF's opinion, but again, it's not a great class after him. Harrison Bryant is a guy that comes to mind of FSU, I think, or FAU, rather. I think both of those guys played well. There's a guy out of Washington. Hunter Bryant is this big slot type. He reminds me a lot of Evan Engram. He would not play tight end in the NFL. He's going to be like this move piece that plays more slot receiver, can be like this matchup weapon. I think he's a special player too. If you want to target tight end, Hunter Bryant's my guy, in my opinion, for the Cincinnati Bengals. Bring in a guy that can be this mismatch, this big slot that can beat linebackers, beat safeties in coverage. I think Hunter Bryant is my guy there.
I got to watch too that you haven't seen. If Bengals draft history is any indicator indicator here, it's Colby Parkinson from Stanford. This is a guy who's probably the best run blocker and pass blocker in the class at tight end. Not a knock on him, just not very valuable, not very important. But honestly, that seems like a need that you could have if you want to run with, you know, six packs pass protectors. Parkinson's the guy to go at tight end.
You go Bryson Hopkins too of Purdue, a guy that's like struggled so much with drops, like ball skills are not his thing, but he's a great route runner. Very fast, very athletic, big. I think he's the guy that can be a difference maker. He's probably going to drop 10% of his passes, maybe just above in the NFL. But if you can get behind that, I mean, some of the best receivers drop that many passes, but they create separation at an elite level and get a ton of targets. I think Hopkins too. Again, not a great tight end class, but if you're looking for someone that you can get on day two, I would even say day three, I think that's where you attack the position.
This team struggled in the secondary. Jesse Bates started to look better. William Jackson III really hasn't looked like himself since his second year in the NFL. They're going to more than likely walk away from Dre Kirkpatrick, which I think is smart. When you look at cornerbacks, who you seeing out there?
This is funny. I think this might be a hot take on my end too. I don't think this is necessarily a deep cornerback class. I love Jeffrey Okuda of Ohio State. He's gone by the first three picks. I love Christian Fulton of LSU. He's not going to be there after 15. After that, you're looking at situational corners that are really dependent on scheme. Like Bryce Hall, for example, the Virginia corner, doesn't belong in a man scheme. You probably don't want to play man coverage with him a ton. He's not a superior athlete, but in a cover three heavy scheme, sure, swing the bat. And then other guys like that too. There's other guys like Paulson Adebo of Stanford that are very scheme dependent. You don't really want to play out of a certain scheme. C.J. Henderson of Florida, I think if you play him in man coverage, he'll do great. Zone, those instincts don't really come to play. I think it depends what Cincinnati wants to do at that position. I think it depends on the defense they want to trot out next year. If they want to play a zone heavy scheme, there's some options there, but you're not getting the difference maker after 15, in my opinion.
I would agree there as well.
I think when you look at the defensive line right now, it's crazy because when training camp happened, I felt like that was going to be the strongest position group for the Cincinnati Bengals. Crazy to think Carlos and Gino are in their 30s, still producing out there. Carlos and his 2019 season, it started to look up.
Yeah, it did. I mean, Carlos Dunlap started to play well. I mean, Carlos Dunlap looked very good down the stretch. He showed that veteran presence he does have. I think Sam Hubbard also played well down the stretch. Gino Atkins has lost a step. It sucks because he's graded so well at PFF for so long. It's hard to see such a dominant player kind of lose a step this year, but I think they do need to start thinking about adding more youth, adding more athletes. Sam Hubbard, special player, high effort dude, nowhere near the athlete that you need to be a dominant pass rusher. Like a Carl Lawson. I think Carl Lawson is a guy that, though he has short arms, everyone says that, he's an athlete that, when healthy, can rush the passer at a high level. I think you need to try and find athletes, whether it's free agency or the draft.
Cam, what's up on PFF?
Oh, you know, the usual. We got a big one coming out next week, actually, ranking as the year is over in the college ranking system here. The 130 FBS teams, every offensive line unit ranked, out next Monday.
I mean, do you guys sleep at all?
Never.
I wish I did. It's not a ton of sleep. Cam doesn't sleep either. He's got a baby girl at home. That's a tough one over there.
Yep. No sleep from the job. No sleep from the life. It's all good. Well, I'm used to it.
I'm going to put you on the spot here with college football since we are talking about it. You have the national championship game. What is your prediction?
I think I'm going Clemson. I love Joe Burrow. I love that LSU offense, but Trevor Lawrence is a whole other breed. I would take Trevor Lawrence over Joe Burrow in this class. He's that good. He's that successful over a longer period of time. I also think that Clemson's defense puts LSU's defense to bed. I mean, they have so much talent on the defensive side of the ball for Clemson. I see Clemson winning this game. It'll be close. Joe Burrow's going to put up a fight, and I think Joe Burrow has a good game, but I think Trevor Lawrence has the ball last, and he wins this one.
The Clemson Tigers defense made made Justin Fields cause two turnover-worthy passes. He had only one interception all season long up to this point playing Clemson's defense. The way that Brent Venables and those safeties roll around that defense, they will give Joe Burrow fits, and it's just a matter of whether or not Burrow can actually figure out what is ultimately an NFL secondary that he's throwing against, whether or not they have the total talent or individual talent. It is totally talented, the best defense he will face all year, and I do think that Burrow actually does get it done with some sort of game-winning drive that just cements his Heisman, his decorated season, as the best college quarterback season we've ever seen.
You mentioned Trevor Lawrence. Don't put that out there because there are Bengals fans who sit here and say, get the number one pick this year, next year. Not going to happen. You get Joe Burrow this year, and Trevor Lawrence will not be coming to Cincinnati next year. But he could end up in AFC North. I have a feeling.
You can't bank on getting the number one overall pick next year. I mean, you could throw Ryan Fitzpatrick under center and accidentally get the fifth overall pick. I don't think you should ever roll with that situation. I think you have to play the cards you're dealt. They're dealt the number one overall pick this year. I think Joe Burrow is a special player, former Mr. Ohio, coach's son. All of the narratives are stacking up. He's graded so well, nearly a 70% completion percentage for this season. I think he's good enough to swing the bat on him. Yes, Trevor Lawrence is good, but bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. I'm not saying it because they're sitting right here. These guys have amazing stuff. PFF, go get it online. Twitter, go ahead and drop your Twitter handles.
PFF underscore Austin Gale.
PFF underscore Cam.
Thanks to Cam and Austin for joining us.